Today on The Grave Talks, do children see spirits? A conversation with Mike McAllister. When Mike McAllister's daughter was just 4 years old, she came to him to see if her friend Timmy could join them for dinner. As a loving father, he entertained the idea, invited her imaginary friend in. Soon, she began a very detailed and seemingly real interaction with an empty chair. Empty to all the adults in the room. From there, she began to recall incidents, deaths even, of people from places and times that she couldn't possibly know. This was the beginning of a long journey, digging into the world of the supernatural, a journey that we discuss today on The Grave Talks.
Now, as far as going back in the world of the paranormal, it was probably shows similar to Unsolved Mysteries that would, you know, would interest me and make me think about it. I had a few experiences young, but not significant enough to really point out. But the real interest drew from me was actually, all right, my oldest child, she had talked to these imaginary friends. One in particular, my wife invited in. And then after that, we had paranormal experiences beginning to come into the house. And it started telling us things that there's no way she could know. She would know about private conversations me and my wife would have. And then we decided to, you know, run with it and see just a little bit and see where it would go with her. So we brought her down to a lady who knew a little bit more in that field, and she walked into a historical building and talked to the people in there, and basically through as saying she was them, like she's acting as them, would tell us the story of how they died. And we were thinking at the time that there's no way she, you know, she's just making all this up. And then the lady looks at us and she goes, actually, everything she said was historically correct, including one thing we just found out.
That's got to be a little bizarre as a dad.
Yeah, that kind of sparked her interest. And then we kind of did some research on, you know, what all goes into the paranormal. And a neighbor came over and said he was interested as well. And that kind of started our journey all those years ago.
So I want to dive into that and dissect that, because there's a lot there. You said this began where she just kind of, you know, like a lot of kids, they have imaginary friends, quote unquote. And what would you said there was a name to this specific one? Did you get the name?
My wife would remember the name. Okay. Remembers the name. I think it was Timmy.
Timmy. Okay. So little Timmy, basically. And how old was your daughter at this time?
My daughter had to be roughly about 4 at that point.
Okay, so pretty young. Now, tell me specifically, like, what would you remember, like, the first encounter of this, or like the first things she specifically was telling you that, you know, that really were just like, wait a minute.
It was very vague moments. Like, I think it started out with her just asking if he could come in and have spaghetti dinner with her.
Okay.
And so we set a plate out, just kind of played along with her imagination, not thinking it was actually a ghost at that point or a spirit. We just thinking that, you know, she just has an imaginary friend and we'll play along.
Is she acting like she's interacting with him during the dinner?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, completely interactive with him. And then, you know, later on, you know, it just certain things, me and my wife, I can't really think of any offhand, but just certain conversations we would have, she would know about. And when we would go to tell her something, she would say that he was upset about us talking to her like that.
Wow. And tell me about some of the things where you and your wife realized, okay, she wasn't in on this conversation. How does she know this? Do you remember what those conversations were about?
Actually, I don't recall it that at this time. I just remember there was various things, and it started being where she would go to other places and she would just kind of tell us, well, I've talked to this person here and this person here, and none of them really significant. So we maybe thought some of it was still maybe in her imagination, but there was just some moments and things that I can't recall that she would say that would lead us down that, you know, to where we believed that maybe something was going on. And then the straw, you know, that kind of really told us maybe she knew a little bit more than what she was saying was when she started giving the history. She went into one place and said, "My name is Rose," and they pushed me out the window. And that's exactly what happened to a lady named Rose at this building.
And so she was saying she was Rose.
Yeah, she would go in during this one place in particular, a place we later hunted called the Journey Within. It's no longer called that, but it's in a town near me called Portsmouth, Ohio. We got all kinds of evidence from there, but this is prior to us even getting into investigating. She goes in there and tells us about basically it was a lover's quarrel, and they decided the person that was currently with the guy, the new lover, decided they would get together and kill the old lover so that they can continue their life together.
And did she express this to you, or was it more so, "I got pushed out the window"?
She would say she got pushed out the window, and then she said stuff about them betraying her and stuff to that nature.
So as a parent, when she's coming to you and she's saying these things that clearly, you know, are very out there, and it's like there's no way you would know this, there's no way she would have knowledge of that, how did you handle it as she came to you and was expressing this?
To be honest with you, we didn't know how to handle it. We brought him to that lady, and she talked to her a little bit, and she worked with her a few times. And to be honest with you, she kind of, well, at this point, we decided to get involved in the paranormal so we could better understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment where we started, you know, forming the team, and we started going on these investigations to see if we could figure out what all this meant, what, you know. Maybe we thought maybe there might be answers to help her with, and slowly she just kind of quit talking about it.
Just kind of faded away, and it wasn't a thing. You know. When you brought it up, how old is she today?
She is 18 today. She is a senior and getting ready to graduate here in a month.
So as she got older, did you ever bring up those things to her? Like, remember when you were 4 and we were here? Does she have any recollection of talking about those things?
We've brought it up to her. She don't remember any of it.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, she would say she remembers vague things, but when we tell her details, she's like, "Yeah, I don't remember that." But she is now she is now doing this as well.
Okay, that's cool. So when you look at this and have some time and some perspective between it, what do you think was going on?
To be honest with you, I think there was a kid seeking a friend there and then maybe got a little bit defensive over the friend, because there was moments where they wouldn't be happy with things we do. Not specifically moments. Like I said, my wife is very much more detailed as far as remembering all that.
Yeah.
But looking back now, I think it was just a kid that wanted a friend. And my daughter was one of them people who just, she kind of was always in her own little way, her own headspace. She was just a unique kid that just loved to be alone. She's still that way. She's still not as outgoing. She's more likes to be a loner style.
Yeah.
So, and I think that that's kind of maybe what kind of, maybe possibly, I mean, there could be a number of things, but the one things I can point to is that she's very, what's the word they use nowadays for that? I can't think of it.
Sensitive, empathic. Empathic?
What is it?
Empathic.
Well, I'm talking about where you like to be more by yourself. You're not really much of a people.
Yeah. Introverted. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, she's very introverted. And I think that might played some role into it, too.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's interesting. You know, I think that makes sense with the little boy that was in the house, little Timmy, that, you know, she's interacting with. But what do you make of the experience at the museum where she was able to say, you know, I died, you know, going out this window and saying things like that? What do you make sense of there?
Well, that was a little spirit shop, if you will. It's like they did like incense and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a storefront, but it was in a historical district.
Okay.
Downtown. It was like a 4-story building. Mm-hmm. I, to tell you the truth, thinking about at the time, I thought, when she first says it, I think, she's just talking, you know, none of this actually makes sense, because the lady didn't react. Mm-hmm. At the time, the lady just stand there and looked at her and kind of, okay, and what else do you think? You know, just didn't really show whether she was actually right or wrong.
Yeah.
I think she was just kind of taking it in as well as we were. And then at the end, she grabbed us, and I go, okay, so what? That was pretty much hogwash. She goes, no. She goes, she was perfectly spot on. She goes, in fact, just last week, we learned one of the details she just told us. And so, like, I, to be honest with you, at that point, I didn't know if it was better for her to continue these things or not. So we just kind of backed away from it and just seen how she would react. Mm-hmm. And I think that in some ways she must have lost interest or maybe just didn't want to go that route no more.
Because it's almost like two different types of interactions. One with a little boy is like an imaginary friend, but it's not imaginary. She sees the little boy as clear as you and me would see each other. With the other one, it's almost like she was getting information or something was, you know, speaking their story through her.
Oh, yeah. She looked like she was almost like acting on a stage, if you will, in front of the people. Like, and we asked her afterwards and we said, what did you mean by all that? She goes, I don't know. They just told me to say it.
Interesting.
And I think that's what, you know, what it was like.
Yeah.
It, the lady didn't ask her, what's the history here? Anything like that. She just, we introduced her and she goes, and she just started going, well, hey, I'm this person. And she's like, the lady did, like I said, she didn't react. So I'm thinking, are you just goofing off? Like, we brought you down here to talk to this lady, but it turns out she was pretty spot on.
Well, it makes you wonder, because there seems to be two different kind of paths one could go on with that. There's the past life idea where maybe she was that person that got pushed out that window and was having something was connecting there. Or the other thing is, was something communicating through her of saying, this is my life. It really wasn't a past life for your daughter, but it was something that was using her. I hesitate to say possessed because there's so many, you know, weird connotations to that, but it's nothing dark or demonic, but just more like something was taking, you know, over or giving her this message to say those things, especially in the first person. And I've thought about this long and hard because I had a very similar experience too. That's why I'm really curious as to what your take is on all that.
I would go more with the latter on that.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling about the whole the kids thing and her, and it's not all kids, but I just wonder sometimes, like, we learn to be more separated from that side.
Mm-hmm.
Through growth, through just like a normal life.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that when you're younger, you're more, if you will, pure. Your mind is more pure. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if that's what opens up to that side. And that's what might have, you know, parts of her plus that addition made it to where she was so easily able to communicate.
Is she today, does she consider herself sensitive, or do you consider her sensitive to being able to pick up on things?
I don't doubt she is. I think she almost don't want to be at this point.
Yeah.
But you know, my youngest is also in that realm of where she might even be further along in that stuff. And that's one of the reasons why, see, we left from the paranormal for 11 years. Mm-hmm. We packed up, I shut down the team and I went about building my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we returned because my kids came to me and said, hey, we've read stories about, you know, about where you used to be involved and people's told us stuff about you used to doing this. You should do it again. And I fought it for like 2 years. I was like, no, we're not going back into that. And then it was them watching other shows that some of them don't exactly show you the correct way of doing things.
Sure.
And I was worried that my kids, you know, they're good kids, but at the same time, if they have an interest in this, they're going to want to do it regardless.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make for sure that they knew the right way of doing it. So that's the journey we have an adult team, plus we have the kids team that learns, you know, from us. And that's what we're trying to do, is make it more about teaching people that there is repercussions, that there is, you know, more sides to everything than demonic. There is wrong ways to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we ended up coming back from, was because our kids decided that they had a big interest in this. And I said, no matter what I say, you're going to try it at some point, aren't you? And they said, yeah. I said, well, then let's learn the correct ways. Let's go ahead and revive everything. And let's try to maybe teach you guys. And then I had a bunch of friends and family that said it would have been nice to go on the journey with you and see it. So that's what we're doing now, is filming and documenting our journey as we go.
Interesting. Yeah. My daughter, when she was younger than four, she was about 2.5, 3-ish. And she's 9 now. But I had a similar one where she was speaking in first person. We were at home. She was brushing teeth. And there was those days where you stand right next to them while they brush their teeth to make sure it gets done. And, yeah. And she's just brushing. And then she just puts a toothbrush down and she goes, Dad, I died. I'm like, huh? But I didn't say no. I was just like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I'm thinking maybe she just doesn't know what that means and she's saying the wrong word. It's like, no, I died. There was a fire. It was an explosion and I died in the fire. Okay. Like, tell me more about this. And this house is not old. It's a fairly new build. Prior to that, it was all a cornfield. So there's nothing really to the property. But she goes on to say she died. And what she said in the conversation was a rocket ship. She said, I died in the rocket ship. And then she used some terms and I forgot what the exact terms were, but it was terms that she would not know. It was like there was a failure of something. And it was very technical without being too deep, but it was enough where I could understand, like, okay, something went wrong and a fire started. And she's like, I couldn't get out and I died in the fire. Then she goes on brushing her teeth, just as if she like told me she watched Dora the Explorer earlier in the day, just with that much excitement or enthusiasm or lack thereof. And, you know, I try to ask her a little bit more. She's like, that's it. No, I just died. And like, but I'm here. And it happened a few times. She would kind of recite that story. And, you know, a little bit later, even a few months later, I'd ask her about it and she'd have no idea what I was even talking about. But it was very, very bizarre. And I didn't know what to make of it. I was already doing the show, so I was already completely into this topic in the paranormal. But it certainly made me wonder, what am I dealing with here? Like, what was that?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And that kind of goes to what I was talking about, where they almost so pure that they don't see it as, you know, life-changing, like the news, like we mm-hmm. would in this day and time. Something contacted you like that, it would, you know, blow your mind. Back then, yeah. They're kids, where they're just so pure that they're just like, oh yeah, this happened, and you know what I mean. But it's not even a big deal to them because they're kids. They don't think about it the way we do now.
Yeah, there's no context there, so everything is new, and it's just another experience to them while they're experiencing everything that's new. And it's one of those moments that I'll always remember and just be baffled by. And that's why I've gone back and forth on the idea of it being, was it past life? Was it just something communicating through her? Because it wasn't as if she was talking about it in a character or anything like that. It was very much her just kind of rattling it off as if this were the facts. But it's interesting to have a conversation with another dad who had a daughter that did something very, very similar and puzzling.
Oh, yeah. That brings up a crazy thought of, like I was saying about as you grow, I'm curious as, you know, one of the, you know, I said things in life teaches that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if specifically, you know, how we try to rationalize or understand something way too much when we look at everything in life. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at anything and we try to rationalize it. Our brain tries to find out logic within it. When sure. they're younger, I think they're just more, it is what it is.
Yeah.
They don't try to put too much analysis on it. If something's telling them something, they just take it for what it is.
You're exactly right. It's very literal and it's just very much raw. And get a few years older than that, and it all changes. We start analyzing things. We start doing those sorts of things. I remember there was the best example I have on this. It's still was from elementary school. I remember we had a speaker, and they just said a simple riddle, and there was all the grades in there from kindergarten to, I think there was eighth grade in that school. And they asked the question, a pea, you know, like a vegetable, the pea, it falls down on the roof of a building. It's raining out and it falls down into the puddle on the side of the building. What is the pea? Now, and the older kids or anybody really above, I think, first or second grade, were like, what? I don't know. Like, is it turning into a plant or is it? And the kindergartners all knew the answer. It's wet. It fell into a puddle. It's wet. And it was, yeah. It was like, oh yeah, that is right. It's just wet. But they didn't analyze it. They're just, it fell into a puddle. It is now wet. Everyone else is trying to think, where does this go from here? And that's just, it's the difference in thinking. And it happens so quick where that shift happens. And you don't realize it, I think, as a kid until you're older. And it's very hard to look back on that time and remember the perspective that you once had.
Yeah, and that just brought to light to me something that I try to do. And you familiar with the Estes method?
No.
It's basically where you put a spirit box on cycle. You put a pair of headphones and a blindfold on.
Oh, okay.
And if you think you hear a word, you just shout it out. That kind of is the mindset I try to go into whenever I go into that. I don't try to think about what does it mean and by what it says. I just say the words.
Okay. I am familiar with that. I just didn't know what it was called.
Yeah. A lot of people familiar, like use it. But that's, you know, that's just something that hit my mind as you were saying that. And we're talking about, you know, the fact of rationalizing everything. I'm like, you know, that's kind of what I do whenever I do the Estes method. I let my mind go blank and just say whatever I hear. And I'm wondering, as paranormal investigators, if that's something we need to focus on even more, is just allowing, you know, you have to be objective. You have to be, you know, a debunking type of person. But at the same time, allow at times your mind to just go free and see what you're actually trying to be told.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, and that really is kind of an exercise in that, where it's just you're repeating something. You're not going to analyze what that word is. You're not going to analyze what that means in terms of context of your situation. You're just going to throw it out there. And you can analyze it later, or others can analyze it, but someone needs to be able to just be that open and just that raw to whatever the information is that's coming through.
Yeah, that just gave me a whole new perspective on a method I already used.
There you go. Tell me about, okay, so you had this experience, you started to get involved in the paranormal more. Did you already have an interest in this prior to those experiences with your daughter?
To be honest with you, not really. Like, in the back of my mind, I always wondered, was ghost real? And, you know, was the couple minor things that happened to me in life, was they really real, or was they something I could excuse off? Mm-hmm. So walking into it, not really. I really strongly came in as a person who didn't necessarily know if I felt like they were real.
Sure. But then to have that, it kind of digs you deeper. So it wasn't necessarily a ghost that your daughter, you know, saw. Maybe it was, you know, as far as the imaginary friend, but she saw something or experienced something more than anything else, I think I would say. What do you make, of that going forward then? Did you, when you started to investigate paranormal, were you going in with the mindset of, this stuff is real because my daughter experienced something and I don't know what the heck it was? Where did you kind of take off from when starting this idea of, I want to dig deeper into this?
Yeah, my mindset was really, I still have no idea. There was interesting things, and I guess my question was, okay, if they are real, or even if it's just energy you left behind, or if it's, you know, things that can influence you, I just didn't know the answers. So I definitely didn't not believe, but I didn't full-heartedly believe. Mm-hmm. I was literally sitting in the middle of the fence, just going, I don't know. I'm a very debunk type of person. I like to look at everything in life. Like, but that might be one thing I need to slow down on, is trying to analyze everything. But that's what I did. You know, I walked in, I said, well, we'd have little experiences. And I was like, no, that could be this, that could be this. And then, you know, three or four cases in, we got some real solid evidence and things that actually took place in the place that, that kind of started changing my mind. I started looking at this and saying, okay, I think I have a beyond a shadow of a doubt. And for myself, I've always said this. When people ask me, are ghosts real? I say, to me, yes, they are. I've seen enough to tell me 100%. I said, but for you, I can't answer that question because all this is personal experiences that, you know, I could show you evidence and you could just say that it was faked. So there's no way for me to tell you unless you experienced it yourself.
Mm-hmm. So tell me.
That's really the perspective that I came in with was slowly. I think it was just, it was little chips. It was little chips that telling me, okay, that's a little bit crazy. That's a little bit different. But then that dam really broke on a old house we called the Lincoln Street home, just an old home that had been abandoned. That case really changed as far as me having some doubt to me having no doubt.
Tell me about the Lincoln Street home. What sort of history does it have other than being an abandoned home?
To tell you the honest truth, we could never pull up nothing that would relate us to deaths in the home. We could never pull any significant history, but I can tell you the paranormal side of what we were told afterwards. We're a new team. We're coming along. One of the people at a gas station tells us their friend owns a home that they left. They moved to Florida. They said we can go hunt it. They had some paranormal experiences in there. We're brand new. So we were just eager. We're like, yeah, let's go. Let's just rush right in there. So we go the next night. And it's crazy. Stuff's like my hat. The first thing I did when I get in there, the one thing they did tell me was, if you set your hat on this staircase, it'll move. So I set my hat down, turn around, and my hat's flipped 4 stairs down. And I was like, okay, this will be a good night. We didn't have a clue what we were walking into. We had almost no equipment. Of course, at this point, paranormal equipment, K2 meters were just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So they... equipment ain't what it is today.
Sure.
So we're trying to, you know, figure out these things, and you'd see stuff walk by. We got some of the best EVPs. We'd ask a question, it'd give us a direct answer with like class A EVP.
So paint the picture for me, because you said there were some friends that had this property. They moved away and it's abandoned. Like, so what type of state is this building in?
Oh, it was fairly ran down. It, you could tell that it could be restored and look beautiful, but it was very ran down. It looked like a home you had left for multiple years. So, I mean, you got some stuff starting to develop, some, you know, tiles and stuff falling off the walls and mm-hmm. different things of that nature. It had like a tiled wall thing that was falling in. Doors didn't exactly close right and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's... if you think about that old abandoned creepy house, that's what it pretty much looked like.
Okay. So it's in its stages of decay, but early on where you can still get in there safely. And
we were in no danger at any point in time down there. The basement might have had a little bit of mold that we stayed away from most, you know, the basement after the first time we'd went there. Mm-hmm. We ended up doing two times there. But the crazy part is we're experiencing all this, and we go back and we said, maybe we should ask questions in the future. Maybe we should ask these people what experience they're actually having.
Yeah.
This is our learning experience. So
sure.
We get a hold of them and they said, hey, we packed up and left in the middle. That's why half the stuff is still there.
Oh, God.
Is because we woke up in the middle of the night and our bed is floating up in the air and the doors are slamming. So
bed floating in the air.
That might have been nice to know walking in.
Bed floating in the air and doors are slamming. Did you know these people by any means?
Did I what?
Did you know these people?
Did not know them. I still have never met them other than a phone conversation.
Okay.
And them telling me that, you know, they literally just, I mean, you could see they left a lot of their stuff there.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's going through your mind when somebody says that to you? The bed was floating in the air, doors are slamming, and we left our stuff in the middle of the night to escape and get out of there. Are you thinking, this is crazy? There's something wrong with these people, like, mentally? Or are you thinking, no, they probably are legit, because you at that time had already spent a little bit of time in this building and had seen a little bit of what it had to offer?
I think you covered both sides of what where I would have been at. If I hadn't investigated beforehand, I think I would have leaned maybe not fully crazy, but on the side of, yeah, that's a little extreme. Mm-hmm. Being there, I don't know how far I'd believe, but I would believe some stuff could happen. I've seen doors open there and shut on their own. So for me to say that the bed couldn't have floated, I don't know. They didn't have a bed. You know, the beds were kind of torn up. We never sat in them or anything. Mm-hmm. So I can't say whether or not it would have floated or not, but so many things.
Yeah, I mean, and the idea that I'm picking up and leaving, I mean, it's reminiscent of many, you know, horror stories, Amityville, the this or that, where people just get up and go because they can't take the, you know, the mental torment of whatever is going on in the house, or in some cases, like this physical torment as well. When you first walked into that house, let me ask you this before I ask this question. Do you consider yourself or anyone in your group to be sensitive or anything like that? Was there any physical reaction or any mental reaction before really having any experiences of just, you know, knowing there's something there?
I don't claim any title, mm-hmm. but I myself can feel them, can feel emotions off of them. Whenever we're getting ready to have a lot of activity come in, I start getting a headache.
Okay.
So I've never really looked any more further, nor have I even tried to look further into what that means to me. But I can tell you in the emotions, or like, I'm like, I didn't like what we just said. I can feel it.
Yeah.
But I can't like talk to them. And I can talk. I just can't sometimes understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell that they received my message. I can't say, and I can tell, oh, well, they kind of like that answer. I had one the other day in my, this is the first time I've ever had one go clear in my head, say, do you want to mess with them? And I was doing the Estes method, and this is probably, you know, part of the, I don't know if I heard it through the spirit box or I heard it, you know, in my head, but it says, do you want to play a joke on them? Mm-hmm. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go ahead. And the stuff it was having me say was like, I don't know what's going on in the room, but it's actually poking fun at them while they're doing things.
Oh, wow.
So we can't wait to release that episode. I'm still in editing on it, but that was kind of one of those moments where I felt like I had a pretty good connection with them. That's why I, you know, bring that one up. I feel like it wasn't negative or nothing, but I did get the headache, even despite the fact that it wasn't negative.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Mike. In part two, what were some of the experiences that Mike had at the Lincoln Street home that made him a believer in the supernatural? What kind of things did Mike do that made the spirits react to him in this haunted house? Does Mike think the spirits of the haunted Lincoln Street house interact with each other? And what made Mike leave the field of the paranormal for quite some time and then eventually return? Those questions and more in part two of our conversations. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks. For $5 a month, you'll get access to all of our bonus episodes, every single episode we've ever created, part one and part two, all of it commercial free. That's how we keep this program on the air. If you like it, please support it. patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click become a Gravekeeper. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.